The homestand comes to an end as the Toronto Maple Leafs enter Pittsburgh on Tuesday night. Penguins Live pregame on the air at 6:30 p.m. and all the action begins on the ice at 7 o'clock. Pens and the Leafs, Tuesday on the Penguins Radio Network.
Pittsburgh Penguins hockey brought to you in part by Fairground Market, Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Services, Thrower Concrete, Next Tier Bank, Camisa's Auto Body, Butler Agway, Cash Dollar and Associates. Also brought to you in part by A&D Heating and Cooling, Vin and Joe's Inn, Tom C's Cafe, Monday's Shoes, and Schneider 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey.
Well, hello there. Good afternoon. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Pretty gray day, and the rains have tapered off quite a bit, at least the steady rains that we had earlier in the day. We're not done yet. Glancing at radar, we've got at least another round of fairly steady showers that appear to be headed our way, so it's no surprise. That's what the weather folks told us. Even as early as this past weekend, we kind of figured Tuesday was going to be a rain day. And the rains actually started overnight. It was pretty wet even before dawn this morning. The wind has also picked up a bit, too, in case you haven't noticed. It was pretty much a dead calm whenever I came to work before dawn this morning. But wind was blowing pretty steadily by mid-morning. So, the temperature's a little bit of a fooler. We're at, 49 right now? And with the wind blowing, it doesn't feel quite that mild. I mean, it's certainly not bitterly cold, but kind of gray and gloomy. Yeah, with more rain on the way, so be prepared for that. We are scheduled to chat with the veterinarian, Dr. Dennis Damon, today. He's not quite arrived yet. We're expecting him very shortly, and we'll be talking about concerns for your pet, your dog, your cat, your parakeet, whatever. Ask the veterinarian is something we do on a periodic basis. We've been chatting with the veterinarian, Dr. Dennis Damon, from Suburban Animal Clinic for quite a few years here on the program today. So we'll look forward to chatting with him shortly, we expect. I want to ask him about this CBD oil that you're seeing in so many pet products these days. It's a derivative of the marijuana plant. And I see it everywhere. Why see it? Heck, you see it in convenience stores these days for people. You know, when you go in, it's all over the counter. And I don't know. Is it any good for pets? Is it dangerous for pets? That's one of the things we'll talk about on the program today. So let's take a quick break here as we await the arrival of Dr. Dennis Damon, and we'll be back with more of It's Your Turn here on WISR in just a moment or so.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a best doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Isaac, you missed the winning dunk and cost your team the championship. What are your thoughts?
Well, I switched to Boost Mobile and got a super fast network and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A20 phones. So even when we lose, I still win.
It was an easy, fast break and no one was near you.
You know what's fast? Boost Mobile's super fast network.
They're calling your shot the greatest miss in history.
Mistake. Boost Mobile's prices are never a miss. I even get 4 lines for $25 per line per month.
Oh, look at that. The fans are burning your jersey.
Yep, the fans get it. My Boost Mobile network is en fuego.
Switch to Boost Mobile and get 4 lines for $25 per line per month with unlimited data and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A20 phones, all on our super reliable, super fast network. Step up with Boost Mobile. New customers only. Limited time offer while supplies last. Requires 1 port from eligible carrier and activation. 1 free device per line. Customers who use more than 35 gigabytes of data during a billing cycle will be deprioritized during times of network congestion. Offers and coverage not available everywhere. See BoostMobile.com or retailer for full details.
Here's what's coming up next. Greatest Hits USA.
Hi, this is Chuck Taylor inviting you to join me for Greatest Hits USA this weekend. Greatest Hits USA takes you through the past with the music from the 60s, 70s, and beyond. Plus the fun stuff like news from the past, the birthday bunch, and your request too. So turn it up this Saturday after the news at noon for Greatest Hits USA right here on WISR.
Greatest Hits USA.
Welcome back. We're going to shift to open talk. We understand that we had a calendar misunderstanding here, and that our scheduled interview with Dr. Damon did not appear on his calendar today. So that sometimes happens at the beginning of a new year. So we will reschedule his visit, and we'll do some open talk here for a while, coming up to a guest that we'll have at the top of the hour. Her name is Nancy Head. She is an instructor at, I think it's Penn State Altoona campus, Penn State Altoona. We have a discussion scheduled with her coming up at the top of the hour. But open talk until then. Our phone number is 283-2525, 283-2525. One of the writers that I enjoy reading in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You still read the Post-Gazette? Yeah, unless you go digital, you're pretty much done these days. Since the first of the year, January 1st, the Post-Gazette, even on the couple of days during the week that it was printed, is not available in the Butler area. And they don't deliver, except on Sunday. You can get the weekend edition of the Post-Gazette in a print edition here in the Butler area, but that's it. And by the way, the weekend edition, the Sunday edition, is up to $4 now. So it would seem that the powers that be at the Post-Gazette are going to make you go digital one way or another. That's pretty expensive for one newspaper, $4. But anyway, you can still read it in digital format online, which is how I read it, except for Sunday. Brian O'Neill is a columnist for the Post-Gazette for many, many years. He's kind of a feature writer, I guess that's how you describe it. Opinion pieces, but mostly it's just think pieces, not a whole lot of politics there. He's a good writer. He's a nice guy. We had him on the program here. Oh, gosh, it's been quite a few years ago now. I bet it's 4 or 5 years ago. We'll have to get him back. It was a great interview. But anyway, he wrote recently about pen pals. Pen pals. And he said that he was still remembering a fondly pen pal that he had when he was in high school. And I remember it well, too. Not well. Had a pen. Did you have a pen pal when you were younger, junior high, high school? I had a pen pal when I was in high school. It was a high school girl from Germany, so it had to be when I was in high school because that's when I took German. So it would probably have been, I don't know, 10th grade, 11th grade, sophomore, junior year, something like that. But we had the opportunity in our German class to hook up with a pen pal in Germany, which I did. And we wrote back and forth for a while. have to be brutally honest with you, her English was far better than my German. It was a struggle for me. But, of course, that was the whole point of, you know, doing this in German class. But it was a struggle for me to, you know, even write a couple of paragraphs to her in German. Her English was pretty good. Her letters are pretty good. So we communicated, you know, on an irregular basis for the rest of that school year and kind of lost touch after that. Do I remember her name? Absolutely not. I have no idea. Nor do I remember where she lived in Germany. But it was kind of fun for a while, and it did, you know, it did help. It forced you to, in my case, to study German a little more, do the best I could. Did you ever have a pen pal? Today, I don't know. They would certainly, if they do exist, they're in a totally different form than what, you know, I had back in my high school days, because it would be done online today, I'm sure. And in fact, even though they're not referred to as pen pals, I bet the concept of having a friend in a faraway place online is actually much more common today than it would have been a few decades back, when you had to actually physically write a letter and then mail it. You can email and stay in touch. Heck, you can even Skype, if you so desire, with people anywhere in the world these days. Have you ever gotten involved in that with what you would used to call a pen pal, with a person in a faraway place? A couple of times I've, you know, emailed back and forth with people that you come in contact with, but not very often, to be honest with you. It's very time-consuming. And I've found that you have to, you really have to limit your time online or on your phone if you don't want to devote the majority of your day to that. And I've seen people, I was in a restaurant just this past weekend having a Sunday brunch, actually, after church. And there was a family at the next table, a man and a woman and a couple of kids, and the guy was in his phone for most of the time they were sitting there. So you have to kind of budget your time. There was an article that I read in the newspaper this past weekend. I forget in what paper it was. I read a couple of papers online. But it was on the subject of how much knowledge do we need? How much information do we actually need? Because especially in today's day and age, you can just get swamped, you know, you can just get overwhelmed. And you really have to decide, you know, what you need. Are you going to click on everything when you're online and when you're on your social media or your email? Are you going to click on everything? No, you can't do that. I mean, next thing you know, you're online or you're on Facebook or whatever, you know, for 4 or 5 hours a day. No way to live. So you have to be more judgmental and decide just what information you need, what you want, and you have to let the rest go flying by. You drive yourself nuts, which I think a lot of people have already. 283-2525 is our number. It's open talk here on the program today, 283-2525. And we have another presidential debate tonight, Democratic candidates. It's tonight, isn't it? Prior to the Nevada caucus. Here's another state with caucuses. That's so stupid. Why don't you just vote? Have a primary. This caucus stuff drives me nuts. Iowa did it a couple of weeks ago, and it was a disaster. Why don't you just have a primary? No, I'm not watching the debates yet. I'll wait till get a little closer to, Election Day here in Pennsylvania. Let's go to the phones. It's open talk at 283-2525, 283-2525. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. Hello.
Talking about pen pals.
Yeah, did you have one?
Yes, from 7th grade, 1957. We've been writing for 63 years.
Wow.
Oh, and up until last fall when she had a stroke, her granddaughter was writing for her.
Oh, my.
We went through weddings together the same year, childbirth, first communions, weddings, anniversaries. We're all two families connected, and she's in Scotland.
How wonderful. And you say you were in 7th grade when you started this connection.
Yes. A friend of mine was writing to a girl there, and she said, my friend has a friend who would like to write. Would you want to? And I said, yes. And through the years, we exchanged many gifts to each other from the different countries. I have a case full of things of places in Scotland, the tea towels with Edinburgh and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
what a great story. You've never met, though, huh?
We've talked twice on the phone. She doesn't fly, I don't fly, and I don't float, and she doesn't float. So we were better with writing than we were speaking to each other.
Is she really incapacitated following her stroke?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
And we are 79 this year, each of us.
Hmm.
But she's a wonderful person, and we just had a good relationship all those years together.
Well, what a wonderful, wonderful story. And you, I'm sure, learned a little bit about Scotland from her, huh?
Oh, yeah. And I've got the bagpipers here and different things that she sent. Two in particular, twice. It's a little bag. No, you push on it and it plays something from there.
Uh-huh.
It's been a very nice experience. Her brother lived in Canada, and I said, if you come over and go to Canada, I'll come up. But being that we didn't float or fly, it didn't happen.
Didn't happen, huh? Do you know, did she actually live in Edinburgh, Scotland, or some other part of the country?
No, it's a long address, Midlothian, Pumperston, Scotland, and then there was a long, like our zip code, long number.
Yeah, they have unusual addresses there throughout Great Britain, actually. I've been to Scotland. I was pleasantly surprised. I knew it was a beautiful country. I was very pleasantly surprised at how extremely friendly the people were. I mean, really out of their way friendly. I didn't spend a great deal of time there. I was in Glasgow and Edinburgh, and I went up into the mountains, too, up into the Scottish Highlands, and I went to St. Andrews, the birthplace of golf. So it was a nice visit. Beautiful, beautiful country. I was there in the midsummer.
Yeah, the pictures that she's sent over the years are really pretty. And she was into flowers, and she had a little bit of greenhouse. Her garden was just beautiful.
Hmm. I remember one, we were driving. Actually, now that I think about it, it was when we were driving up into the Scottish Highlands one day. And I was with a group of friends, and we had rented a car, or as they say over there, we hired a car. And we were driving, and we got really up into some pretty remote territory up in the Scottish Highlands, and we were driving along, and we came to a bridge, and there was a red light. There was no intersection, it was just a bridge. And it was a very small, narrow bridge that had a big arch in it. You know, it went up over a creek or a stream. And here it was so narrow that it was only one-way traffic, and that's the way they had a red light there.
You took your turn.
Yeah, people coming the other way had a green light, and then we see that here sometimes on a road construction project. You know, they'll have a temporary traffic light set up in the middle of nowhere, but this was permanent. This it was just driving along, and all of a sudden we stopped, and here comes another car over the bridge. And I remember the name of this was a little hamlet tiny little town called Spittal-on-Glenshee. Spittal-on-Glenshee, and it just the name of the town sticks in my mind only because of that, you know, crazy red light on the small one-lane bridge. Oh, good stuff! You've stirred my memories of Scotland.
I had beautiful pictures of one of the cathedrals where one of our, I think it was Laura, was married there. Oh, it was just absolutely gorgeous. And then different castles and things around.
Mm-hmm. What did you write her about? Things around here?
Well, you know, I was going through things, letters and things, and this was last year, and I sent her letters that we wrote when we were teenagers, and the things that we talked about then as compared to now with the kids growing up and the family and so forth. And back then it was, what were you going to wear to such and such, and do you do this in your country? Do you have a prom and that sort of thing?
Huh.
And she sent magazines that were teen magazines, and I sent her at the time, it's a magazine called Compact that I got. It was for teenagers, and we exchanged those. But basically, we're the same.
Hmm.
Enjoyed the same things, and I don't think she was into sports, neither was I, so we had that in common too. But it was a very long run, and I'm afraid now that there won't be much communications due to her circumstances. So
yeah, how wonderful though that you saved her letters, or at least some of them, from all those years. Huh?
All the letters, all the pictures. I don't know what my children are going to do with all that when time comes. And gifts and tea towels and clothing and slippers and knickknacks. She had a collection of things and I had a collection of things, and we enhanced each other's collections.
You might appreciate the article that I had from Brian O'Neill that I was talking about. Maybe you can give me a call off the air sometime, and I'll get your address and send you a copy of it. You might appreciate that, especially since you've saved so many of the letters from your longtime pen pal from the late 50s, for goodness sakes. Wow.
Yeah, 57.
Wow. Well, listen, thanks for sharing with us. That's a marvelous story.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening.
Sure. Nice to talk with you.
Bye.
283-2525 is our number. Open talk on the program today. 283-2525. Pen pals. Old and new. How about that? A pen pal from the late 50s. And still writing up until her pen pal in Scotland suffered a stroke. And then her daughter wrote for a while. Wonderful story. 283-2525 is our number. It's open talk here on the It's Your Turn program today. We are going to be chatting with the guest, Nancy Head, coming up here in a few minutes. She'll be joining us by telephone. She's not here in the Butler area. Story in the Trib today, Tribune Review. I didn't realize, I knew that down at Pittsburgh International Airport they had been discussing plans for renovation. I didn't realize that it was all ready to go. They're going to start prep work on that soon, and construction will begin later this year. That's going to be a pretty amazing change, isn't it, huh? Back to the phones, 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Thank you, Dave.
Sure.
I don't have anything of my own to contribute, but I do have a suggestion for that lady.
What's that?
It was so interesting, and when she said that that lady's granddaughter was writing for her, Well, I thought maybe this lady's granddaughter, or if she has one, would like to pick that up.
Wouldn't that be a great idea? Yeah, yeah. That's an excellent idea. Of course, you never know if they would be compatible, you know. Sometimes you are, sometimes you're not.
That's right.
Yeah.
You never know. There's no way of knowing, but it would be a possible continuation. She said, what am I going to do with all this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that the granddaughters might enjoy it or pass it back and forth or what. Who knows?
You never had a pen pal, huh?
I never did, no.
What about today? Are you online a lot on Facebook or social media? Are there regular people that you communicate with that way?
I communicate by letter. We don't have any internet or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are...
Even a smartphone.
You are one of a dying breed if you still write letters.
I know. My friends tell me I need to get out of the dark ages.
Well, you know, you can... The internet's a great thing. There's no question about that. But there's something to be said about still writing letters. And I don't do it probably as often as I should. But when you do... actually sit down and write a letter. It could be a very short one. It could be a short note. Or when you get a short note from somebody, to me at least, it means a whole lot more than, you know, getting something, getting an email or a text or something like that. So I say
the
to
only
you,
advantage is that they just keep up with each little thing. And you can't do that in letters. You can't write a letter every day, but...
Well, but who needs to keep up with every little thing? I mean, you know, I've seen people texting, you know, where they say, well, I'm now in the paper products aisle at Walmart. And, well, who cares?
That's exactly right.
Information that we really don't need to know, quite frankly, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
Well, I'm sure the lady with the longtime pen pal is still listening. Maybe that's an idea. Maybe her children or grandchildren could continue the tradition. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Well, I would just like to thank her, too, for calling in and getting you to talk about that, because that was good.
Wonderful story. Yeah. Well, thanks.
Okay.
Nice to talk with you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We need to take a break. Let's do it. We'll be back with more in just a moment or so.
This time of year, it's fish fry time at Michael's Restaurant. You can't beat the great beer-battered fish with fries. You start looking forward to it the moment Lent arrives. Start your family tradition of enjoying fish fry dinners at Michael's Restaurant. That's Michael's Restaurant, with great homemade food all year long.
All right, let's talk about West End Tire and Service. They are proud to continue a tradition of excellence with the same great people that Siemens had for years and expanding on and adding new and improved services like shocks and struts, brake service, oil changes, front end alignments, tire rotation, tire repair, tire retreading service for heavy-duty trucks, and more. Trained technicians, if you stop in, they'll check your air for free, give you tire evaluations anytime. Stop by to see what's new. Visit them on Facebook, too, as well. West End Tire and Service, West Cunningham Street, next to Battery Warehouse Plus in Butler, 724-287-6973.
It's the Tuesday, the gloomy and somewhat soggy Tuesday edition. It's your turn here on WISR. Temperatures are near 50 if you haven't been outside today. And I'm sure there's some people who, because of the, you know, the rain and everything, at least the steadier rain earlier, stayed inside. It's pretty warm for this time of year. The current temperature is 50 in parts of our listening area, and the average high for Butler on this date is 39. So we are well above normal. However, there's no sun, and it's kind of breezy, so it's not like you might expect when you step outside, 50 degrees. On the other hand, it's what, February the 18th, so, you know, this is the time of the year when we still could be covered with 2 feet of snow and ice and brutally cold temperatures and everything else. So what a mild winter it's been, huh? With about a month to go. I know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, too. Can we go one more month and then still keep the relatively mild weather? And then that should do it. Hopefully that'll do it anyway. Well, listen, we are going to take a break here, and then we'll hook up by telephone with our guest for the day, Nancy Head. We're going to be talking about an interesting subject. She has drawn parallels between what happens when a marriage fails, leading to separation or divorce, and what has happened over the centuries with the Christianity, where there have been some breakups, and some separations. I never thought about the parallel before. So we will explore that with her coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR in just a moment. Hey, here's a good way to beat the winter blahs. Get out of town for a few days. Why not take a trip with Butler Motor Tours? Butler Motor Tours, a local company. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been around for more than 75 years. And when you travel with Butler Motor Tours, you travel in comfort on one of their big motor coaches, their big cruisers. By the way, they always take trips down to Florida, too, in the winter months. So there's an idea to look at. If you want to check out their offerings, just go to their website. It's butlerbus.com. Butlerbus.com. All their upcoming trips are listed there with the dates and the itinerary and the cost and all of that. You can even book online if you so desire. And you can get gift certificates too. Butler Motor Tours. Check them out online at butlerbus.com. That's Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com. Coming up on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Mulwerke. We're going to be chatting with guest Nancy Head. She joins us via the telephone today. She's the author of a new book entitled Restoring the Shattered. Well, first of all, Nancy, before we get to talking about your book, welcome. I've been looking forward to chatting with you for a few minutes for some time here.
Yes, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
When I found out from, I was talking with your publicist some weeks ago and we scheduled this interview, and she said, well, I think you really want to talk to this woman. She was a single mother who had five children under the age of 14 while she was attending Penn State University. And after I got back up off my chair again, and I said, I can't imagine how you, but that's true. That's the situation you found yourself in, Nancy.
It is. I was a single mother. Actually, the oldest child was 10, and the youngest was 7 months old when I found myself alone. And a few years later, I went back to school and found myself in that situation. And, you know, you teach them how to do a little laundry here and a few dishes there and how to pop some food into the microwave. And what was beautiful about it today is that there are times they are still, as adults, relying on each other. And everybody still lives in the same town. And it's very beautiful. We just got together over the weekend. We get together, we missed the month of September. No one is apparently born yet in September. But throughout the year, we get together very regularly to celebrate typically multiple birthdays. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, someone gets their own day. But it's just really nice to have that same kind of camaraderie that going through a difficult time gave us and weaved us together, sewed us together in that way, and not in an unhealthy way. So everybody's living their own nice, independent lives together today. Independent together.
I agree with you, though, on the importance of being able to, to get together on a regular basis. I see so many families and hear of so many families today where they're spread all over the place. You know, you've got relatives in Montana and Arizona and Florida and everything else. And I think, wow, if you're fortunate enough to have your close family members near enough that you can get together on a regular basis, that is, it's a real treat.
Yeah, we've done 3 deployments. So we've had those years when somebody was missing. And, you know, there's always the someone has to work or someone has this or someone has that. But for the most part, it's very beautiful to watch the influence the aunts and uncles are having on the children. And just to see that, it's beautiful. And if your family lives far away, fortunately today there's Skype and airplanes and cars to travel to see them. But we feel a little extra blessed.
Mm-hmm. So here you are going to Penn State, a single mother of 5 children under the age of 14. You were studying English. Did that lead to, at least initially, a career in writing?
Well, it led to a career in radio, which was, at first, radio and then newspaper, and now teaching. And eventually I went back as an older parent, as an older person with my children grown up, I went back and got my master's degree. But I started out in radio, and that was rather fascinating to be. I was always interested in national news, and now I had to be interested in local news. So it was a real eye-opener, and it was a news talk radio station. We did music on Saturday mornings, which was actually kind of fun sometimes to work on Saturday mornings. But that was a real education. I remember one of the things one of my professors told me while I was in college was that you will learn more after you get out of college than you learned while you were here. That didn't seem quite possible to me, but it was true.
Good
and
advice.
Every time I learned something new, I would, many times when I would learn something new, I would think about that. He said that, and it, you know, you go through life constantly learning, and the purpose of education actually is to be able to keep learning.
I would agree with that. By the way, Nancy Head, H-E-A-D, by the way, Head, is, well, almost local. She lives in Altoona. We mentioned she went to Penn State. She got her master's degree from IUP, and you're currently an instructor at Penn State Altoona, I believe, right?
Yes. I also teach advanced placement English at Great Commission Schools in Altoona.
So tell us about your book, Restoring the Shattered. I need to give the subtitle to our listeners, too. It's Restoring the Shattered, Illustrating Christ's Love Through the Church in One Accord. Do you kind of look at the similarities between broken churches, different denominations, and broken marriages, Nancy?
Yes. That I looked at my situation as a family kind of as a microcosm of what's going on within the church. And I saw that when my husband decided to divorce, and we went through a period of time when he was, to be honest, making up his mind, and, you know, five children, we want to think about this very seriously before we make any kind of permanent move. When he decided to divorce and remarry, that is now a permanent division. There cannot be a reconciliation now. But the children, and there was separation between the children, and you know, some in his camp, some in my camp, and that was temporary. And when everyone grew through that, and the situations resolved themselves, and children matured and see things more clearly and less emotionally, and now there's this wonderful restoration. So when we look at the church today, and we see, you know, we go back to before the Reformation, way back a 1,000 years before the Reformation, there is a meeting of the minds between the Latin Church and the Greek Church, and they're trying to decide and determine that we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found out, the Latin side of things found out, they thought, was that the Greek side is denying the dual nature of Christ, that he is both God and man. From the Greeks' perspective, however, they did embrace the dual nature of Christ as both God and man. There was a mistranslation. And so the division, the separation began between them, a temporary separation in a sense, because there has been acknowledgement now on both sides that the Greek side believes in the dual nature of Christ. So but it took 1,500 years to come to that, almost.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, what we've been dealing with is a whole lot of misunderstanding. And when you get to the Reformation, you can see that. I discussed that a little bit in the book, that the one side is accusing the other side of essentially easy believism. That you sign up and say you believe, and it doesn't really matter how you live your life after that. But no, that's not where Luther was coming from. The other side, you know, there is this misunderstanding on both sides. And we see that today in the denomination. And we see that in our community. And I look at the ministry that my children and I received. And we received it from people at our church primarily, but we received it from a broader community and from people of different denominations. And so I look at that situation, and then I look across town, and I see the food pantry that's based right next to the Catholic Church over on the other side of town, and I look at the amazing shoe ministry that is at the United Methodist Church on the other side of town. And doctrinally, as far as I can tell, having looked at this, we're very similar, believing in that dual nature of Christ at the same time, believing in his sinlessness and his sacrificial death and his resurrection, his coming again, and our leading by the Holy Spirit today. So my church is a non-denominational church. We collect food for the food pantry that's next to the Catholic Church. We collect shoes once a year for the shoe ministry that allows children who are low income through age 18 to come in and get a pair of free shoes and two pairs of socks twice a year. Wow, what a great ministry. I wish that had been there when my kids were little. So those are difficult things. You know, you can't buy shoes with food stamps. So, you know, you have to be able to have things like that and to have these ministries and not just to let that be in that little corner of the town for that little corner of people. Let it be for our whole community to reach out in the name of Christ and say, here's where you can go to help. Oh, and you know what? Our church offers this, but that other church, they offer food. This other church offers this. Hey, and you can go to this church. They have meals throughout the week on a weeknight. You can go get a hot meal if you are running low on food. They're just all over town. That church is having a clothing giveaway. And not just to meet the needs of today. Because people did that for me in the sense of, you know, there were boxes of food left on the front porch occasionally. Somebody'd hand me a Christmas card with a check in it, Christmas time. One Sunday school class gathered the resources to give us a Thanksgiving dinner one year. That meets your needs for today, Thanksgiving leftovers, maybe for a few days. But the idea of the encouragement that I got when I went back to school, people taking me aside and say, now, when you're studying this, you might want to keep that in mind. Or, you know, remember, and they were giving me advice from their own college days, things they either did or wish they had done. So, and there was this constant, you can do it. And we're so proud of you. Isn't it great that you're showing your kids this? And we didn't stand still in our poverty and just let people take care of us today, and then we're still standing there. We moved forward, we moved upward, and we got ourselves to the position now where each one of us is now ready and prepared, at least to some degree, to give back. Yeah. And that's the beauty of what we can do as a community, overlooking the misunderstandings we have, acknowledging the authentic differences that we have. I explain those in the book, and moving beyond that to reach out in our community and to say, in the name of Christ, we can lift you up and help you on your way. Food pantry story, the guy who runs the food pantry here that I mentioned earlier, he is a retired Marine colonel, and he's a crusty old cuss, if you know what I mean. But he's got a heart of gold, and he runs the food pantry, and he noticed there was a young woman coming in, teenager still, three children. Now, our stereotype in our minds goes straight to a single mother who keeps having children. No, this girl was married and still a teenager. And, you know, we could assume that the first child caused the marriage, right? But we'd be assuming. We don't know. And this family was coming to the food pantry was that the father did not have his GED, didn't have his high school diploma, and he could not find full-time work. So my friend, the retired Marine colonel, encouraged, hey, you know, there's this GED program. Let's see what you need to do to be able to complete this and take the test. And you know, I'm going to guess this guy probably had known there was a GED program. He needed somebody to encourage him and to say, hey, let's figure this out together. The guy takes the GED course, passes the test, gets his GED, and the head of the food pantry calls his respective employers and says, hey, I know that you've had this guy working for you part-time. Do you know he has his GED? And I recommend that you hire him. They don't come to the food pantry anymore. That is a victory story. That's what we can do. When, you know, when I help the food pantry, that's a story I'm helping to make possible. So that's the kind of way, and there's a beautiful thing happening in my community that I had nothing to do with, two pastors said, hey, let's see how many pastors we can get together on a Sunday morning at 6:30 in the morning to pray for each other, our churches, and our city. They're up to 36 now. 6:30 in the morning, these people get together at one church or the other, and they pray for that church. They pray for our city, our community. And we're helping each other, because my pastor came a few weeks ago and said, hey, there's this church over a little ways in town, and they have this monstrous heating bill. They can't pay it, and if they don't pay it, they're going to have to shut down for the rest of the winter. They're having a spaghetti dinner. And when that church opened that next Saturday afternoon, opened their spaghetti dinner, they had 100 people lined up for takeout and 100 people lined up to eat inside. Next day, our pastor says they needed $6,000 to pay that heating bill. And they got $9,000 from their spaghetti dinner and raffle.
Great story.
And that's the community coming out. And it's a beautiful church. Beautiful stained glass windows. And the kind of church that people walk to, right, in that kind of neighborhood. And it's beautiful. And it's such a neat story, because the city just stepped up and said, oh, you have a problem? People were eager to help. But if we don't talk to each other, then we don't know that I would not have known about the spaghetti dinner if I'd not heard about it at church. So
Nancy,
that's the kind of thing we can do for each other. And that's really what the book is urging us toward, is to lifting up individuals who are in need so that they're no longer in need, getting them to walk on their own two feet themselves, to be independent, and then helping other entities in the community, too.
This is such a good story. I need to squeeze a break in here. Can you stay with me for a couple of more minutes? Because there were a couple of other things I wanted to ask you about. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. We'll pause momentarily and be back with more of It's Your Turn here on WISR right after these words. The Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located at 140 Newcastle Road. It's about halfway up Newcastle Hill, just down from the State Police Barracks. This is the Butler area's newest funeral home, Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, the first and only value-designed funeral home built specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles, types, and levels of service that others are not able or willing to offer. They can transfer all prearranged funeral services and policies as well. It's an entirely new idea. It's local. And there's a hometown gentleman running the operation, Spencer D. Geibel. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road in Butler. Not affiliated with any other funeral home.
Home care through Concordia Visiting Nurses includes services which foster recovery, rehabilitation, recuperation, and health education. Ask your doctor about medical support needs at home. Ask for a referral for Concordia Visiting Nurses and enjoy the benefits of skilled practitioners coming to your home to help you feel better. For tips for family caregivers, visit elderpagespittsburgh.com.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm Dave Malarkey. We're chatting with our guest, Nancy E. Head, author of a book entitled Restoring the Shattered, Illustrating Christ's Love Through the Church in One Accord. Nancy, I love you. We were talking about this before the break. I love your drawing parallels between a broken marriage and the divisions in Christianity today. And you mentioned a dispute between the Roman and the Greek churches about the dual nature of Christ. You mentioned the Reformation. I would point out even the split that ended up with the Orthodox Church being separate from the Western Church. I honestly think that if we'd had the communication technology that we have today back in those times, that none of those splits would have happened. We could have ironed out those misunderstandings before it reached a crisis point. What do you think about my theory?
Well, I think that's a very interesting theory. And to think about, well, let's keep in mind that Luther didn't think he was going to make another church. He didn't start out.
Heavens no.
The Reformation was to reform the church. he wanted to fix the one he had. He didn't want to start another one.
Mm-hmm.
So that it actually wasn't his intention to begin with. I think we tend to forget that, by the way. So it is interesting. It's kind of interesting to, because you'd have the translation technology, but I wonder if it would mess you up to have social media too.
Oh, I never thought about that. Let's not go there.
I don't know if that'd make it better or worse.
Some people might see your message as a call to, you know, simply discard our differences and become a totally melded Christianity devoid of any doctrinal distinctions at all. You're not calling for that. You're just calling for more respect of different opinions, right?
Absolutely. I think it's crucial that we hang on to truth. And that's the fascinating aspect of this, is that, you know, your truth, and I don't mean to look at this in any kind of New Age way. I believe in absolute truth. But there are the people who, for example, practice baptism one way and the people who practice baptism another way. As long as we're looking at Christ the same way, than the Trinity, I don't see any reason for that to cause separation. I don't see any reason for us to divide ourselves because you see baptism this way and I see baptism that way. I think it behooves me to look at why you see baptism that way. I think it's very interesting from a Protestant perspective to look at the Catholic view of baptism, for instance, is a kind of an extension of the practice of circumcision in the Old Testament and the dedicating this infant to Christ, which, of course, what we do in this my little corner of Protestantism. So the respect for each other, looking at communion, we have open communion at our church. If you profess to be a believer, you're welcome to have communion. Other churches say, well, if you don't believe this about communion, you really shouldn't have communion with us. And we need to respect that, and we need to not accuse and make assumptions. What I get frustrated from is when I hear that, you know what, these people believe that. It's like, well, I would rather hear that from their mouth, because when I ask them, do you believe that, that's not what I hear. So are we distorting it and causing more separation, reducing the amount of ministry we have, limiting our ministry because of this distortion and misunderstanding? And again, while acknowledging our differences, but we don't just meld into one little church, because then we've turned into soup, and soup loses its distinction. And I think we all need to hang on to our distinction. And we show Christ more vividly when the stained glass window has different colors shining the light through it, making an image of Christ. When we're all not the same color, showing no image at all, and we can say, you know what, we've overcome this disagreement well enough that I can give you peanut butter. You know, when I was a single mother, peanut butter was what you went to because it was cheap. Peanut butter's not cheap anymore. We collect peanut butter for the food pantry. I can give you shoes. You know, we're all representing Christ here. And that is the key. And again, if there's a church that denies the deity of Christ, denies any of the essential doctrines, maybe we don't want to partner with that church, because they're denying faith and they've lost their distinction and they've lost their embrace of truth. So I do draw a line with that there is a schism in the church. There's a great separation in the church, but it's not denominational. It's based on having true faith in Christ or denying that and just looking for some sort of social program just to fix society. We're here to fix society as we represent Christ, not even necessarily expecting a perfect society, expecting only that in heaven someday. Here just to represent Christ. So that is the distinction here, and keeping that distinctiveness is very important.
We have developed a wonderful tradition here in the city of Butler, and where our radio station is located, right in the heart of downtown, there are several different churches. Actually, there's about six or seven of them, all within a space of a block and a half, believe it or not. And an ecumenical series of Lenten talks was established some years ago, and it continues. In fact, they're getting ready for it again this year. And different denominations. There's Methodist, Presbyterian, Anglican, Roman Catholic, Lutheran. And on a Wednesday night during Lent, leading up to Holy Week, one church will host the session. The pastor from another church will preach, and then the next Wednesday they go somewhere else to another church, different preacher, different host. And it has been a marvelous ecumenical experience over the past several years. I think this is the sort of thing that you're talking about, Nancy.
It is. And what's interesting to me is that there are certain people you can use the word ecumenical with, and certain people who perceive that word as something asking us to dilute our faith. And so when I started out as a novice in the pro-life community and somebody would talk about having an ecumenical breakfast, I would say, that's really nice. None of the evangelicals will be here. If we simply call it a non-denominational breakfast, you'll get them all. And it was just because of this whole idea that the word ecumenism is calling us to water down our doctrine. And there's some history there. I explain it in the book. But that's part of understanding each other's languages. Instead of just hearing the word and shutting down, we need to hear the word ecumenism and say, what do you mean by that? Are you asking me to water down my doctrine? Or are we just meeting together in our distinct beliefs and still promoting Christ? So I think that whole idea, too, and I do agree with that, that we are, you know, I love this. There was a pro-life, non-denominational service a few years ago that the Catholic bishop held in the cathedral in our town. And it was a beautiful service, and we went, and we had a beautiful time. And that whole Sunday morning thing with the 36 pastors is representing all kinds of different denominations and not asking, and you have to check your doctrine here at the door. No, you have a church. You come in. You pray with us. We're going to pray for our city. We're going to see what we can do to help our city. We're going to do what we can. They had a beautiful thing. The Sunday morning before school started this past year, 6:30 in the morning, the 36 pastors, everybody, the whole city was invited. And maybe 100 or 200 people showed up. I'm not really sure. Out in the middle near our high school, we have a mountain lion out there, the Altoona Mountain Lion. And we gathered near the mountain lion in this big spread of cement. And we stood in groups praying for different schools. So the community coming together to ask God to bless the schools and the teaching, to bless the students, to keep everybody safe all year, it was a great thing to see. So, yes, I think that it's similar to what you're doing with your Lenten thing. It's not asking anybody to deny or to shove aside what you believe and ignore it. We're asking you to come together as a community and reach out and to find ministry and need where you can help.
Well, Nancy, I could just talk with you for another hour, but unfortunately, that's not the capability that we have here today. I do want to mention to our listeners that your book also discusses what can be done to support and strengthen the sanctity of marriage.
Yeah.
You use a theme of glass, looking glass, broken glass throughout, and you have a beautiful cover depicting a close-up of a mosaic or a stained glass window. The title of Nancy Head's book is Restoring the Shattered. If you're looking for her online, it's Nancy E. Head, H-E-A-D. Thanks so much, Nancy. Interesting conversation. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Here comes the see right out my window, walking down the street, my girl with another guy. His arm around her like it used to be with me. Oh, it makes me want to die. She's chosen him and simply let them be. Whoa, well, here it comes.
Here comes the night. Here comes the night.
Oh, yeah. The way I used to do. I see her closing her eyes and telling them lies, exactly like she told me to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, here.